In today's show, Mashatile under scrutiny, Glynis Breytenbach on how to fix the NPA, ANC weighs in on the US tariffs, and the US responds to Russia threat. It's Monday, the 4th of August. This is your BizNews briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. The spotlight is firmly on Deputy President Paul Mashatile. This following the recommendation by Parliament's Ethics Committee that he be fined 10,000 rand for his failure to declare a diamond gifted to his wife by the fraud-accused businessman Louis Liebenberg. This situation has added to Mashatile's challenges as he is already fielding uncomfortable questions about two properties worth over 60 million rand that he has recently declared. Henny Brits, chairperson of the Joint Committee on Ethics and Members' Interests, shared his insights with the SABC in a recent interview.
Well, the committee received a complaint during March of this year. The complaint was lodged by a member of the Democratic Alliance, and the registrar thereafter investigated and compiled a report. So the committee deliberated on the report and found that the member, Deputy President Paul Mashatile, was indeed in breach of the code. The code determines the circumstances under which a member must declare gifts to him or herself, as well as to their spouses. Thereafter, the Deputy President was given the opportunity to make a presentation to the committee, and in terms of the code, the committee recommends to Parliament to impose a fine of 10,000 rands and to reprimand in both Houses of Parliament as required.
This week's DA podcast featured advocate Glynis Breytenbach, who discussed at length the deep-seated problems at the National Prosecuting Authority. She also spoke of Ramaphosa's inaction and how she would go about repairing the institution.
Andrew Chauke was suspended yesterday, the day before, by the police. Shamila Batoy, to her credit, asked for him to be suspended, I think, 4 years ago. It may be longer. It took the president 4 years to suspend a dodgy director of public prosecutions. I mean, that should concern every single South African, because every day that he's sat in that position, it's a big job. He's director of public prosecutions. He's in charge of an entire division. Giving that dodgy leadership every single day, that entire division of prosecutors has been subject to that toxic culture all this time. It's very concerning. Yeah. And one should wonder why it took the president so long to act.
Yeah, for sure. But Glynis, how do we fix it?
How do we fix it? Well, the NPA is a top-down organisation. I know that many people are calling for the resignation or removal of Shamila Batoya. I think that's unfair. It's a job that's much bigger than one woman. And she inherited a deeply, deeply, deeply damaged institution that needed to be fixed. And it was full of people who continue to undermine her even today, like Chauke. And so it was a really an impossible task. You need to get rid of all the bad eggs. We know who they are. They must go. Get rid of them, whatever the cost. Get rid of them. And then you've got to rebuild. You've got to put a leadership structure in place that's prepared. It's a lot like the police, in my view. Police is a top-down structure as well. You need to have a top echelon of leadership whose integrity is beyond question, who are prepared to take the hard decisions and do the hard job and be unpopular. Prosecuting is, A, not for sissies, and it's not a popularity contest. So you've got to take the hard decisions, do the hard job regardless, and prosecute big names.
Michelle's the mom who traded in her Fiat 500 for this beast right here. But why the momentous move, huh?
I needed something bigger to keep up with my growing son and his many sports bags.
When you traded in your car with We Buy Cars, was it an easy conversion?
I see what you did there. The process was just so easy. I was given a tablet, had to sign, and that was it.
Basically, We Buy Cars is no mess, no fuss. Okay, it was nice chatting. We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
The ANC National Executive Committee has been meeting over the last 4 days, discussing everything from geopolitics to South Africa's domestic economy. Minister of Electricity and Energy, Hosi Ramahopa, was tasked with briefing the media. One of the burning issues is, of course, the US tariffs that took effect on the 1st of August. Let's dip into his briefing on that exact topic.
There was a focus discussion, and I must add that it was both spirited and robust discussions. So the following are some of the elements of that conversation or discussion. First is that the United States remain our second biggest trading partner, and that we must do everything possible to preserve, if you like, that status, because it's got huge economic implications to South Africa. The most direct is in relation to the number of jobs that potentially could be lost as a result of these tariffs if our products that are earmarked for the U.S. are going to land uncompetitively, and they'll be displaced by products from other jurisdictions. So the point made there is that we must make everything possible within the bounds of rationality to ensure that we are able to preserve that relationship. I must indicate that the channels continues to be open between ourselves and the U.S. To ensure that we are able to find each other. Remember that Comrade Parks, in his official capacity as Minister of DTIC, has made the point that we have presented a framework for engagement. So if I isolated a number of areas where we think that we can have a mutually beneficial relationship between ourselves and the U.S., and that still continues to be a basis for discussion between us and the Americans. And something that must not be lost to us is that these tariffs are a unilateral action on the part of the Americans. And like President Ramaphosa had said, we will invest in ensuring that we are able to protect South African goods access to the American market.
Ian Cameron says if he was appointed police minister, he would immediately attend to the long list of suspended individuals within the South African police force pending investigation. Cameron was also speaking on the DA's podcast alongside Glynis Breytenbach that we heard earlier on our show.
The first thing is clean up the top structure. That integrity management process is critical, and that includes a lot of firing as well, just in terms of not necessarily the corruption side only, but just people that aren't competent. Literally doing a skills audit to determine, even to see if someone can actually wear a uniform properly. I'm saying that jokingly, but that is how serious it is. I would specifically look at a disciplinary unit, a dedicated disciplinary unit, to ensure that we don't have this disciplinary backlog. I mean, there are people that have been suspended for 3, 4, 5 years earning general salaries and they just indefinitely suspended, staying at home, playing golf, that kind of thing. And then the critical part, I think, is restoring that public image or trust by actually transparently showing the results of this cleaning up.
On that note of individuals on leave pending investigation, right now with the swearing in of Feroz Khuchalia last week as South Africa's acting police minister, South Africa effectively has two police ministers. Ramaphosa says he will resolve the situation as soon as possible.
I know there is a technicality about seeming to have two ministers in the same portfolio. And that is a matter that I do believe is going to be resolved within a short space of time. We've asked, or I have directed the Commission, to complete its work as quickly as possible. So whatever confusion or period there might be is going to be of a short duration. I expect a report from the commission within 3 months, and if they have to ask for an extension, we will give consideration to that. So I do want this matter to be resolved as quickly as possible, but at the same time we've had to provide leadership to the police service. We can't leave a vacuum. And whilst all this is happening, the Minister Mkunu is on leave. He's on leave while this matter is being resolved. And he is preparing himself, as I hear, to appear before the Commission. And he has welcomed the appointment of the Commission because he wants to tell his own story and clarify matters.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
Right now, you can get the cheapest Forex rate around, right here, on Shift. Pay less for your dollars, pounds, and euros here, and get to shop more here, and do more here, and enjoy more ooh-la-la here. Shift also lets you trade and transfer currencies, and buy shares in the world's best companies. It all happens right here on Shift. You won't find a cheaper Forex rate anywhere else, no matter where you bank. Download the Shift app today.
On the international front, Trump says the recent U.S. jobs data is phony, and he's ordered the firing of the Bureau of Labor Statistics' chief, saying he needs people he can trust. This comes after the report showed U.S. job growth cooled sharply over the last 3 months.
Mr. President, why did you fire the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics?
Because I think her numbers were wrong, just like I thought her numbers were wrong before the election. Days before the election, she came out with these beautiful numbers for Kamala, I guess Biden/Kamala, and she came out with these beautiful numbers trying to get somebody else elected. Then right after the election, I think on the 15th, November 15th, she had an $800,000 or $900,000 massive reduction, said she made a mistake. That woman's numbers are
on the monthly job report. Going forward, why should anyone trust the numbers?
Well, that's and the if big you're thing. You're right. No, you're right. Why should anybody trust numbers? You go back to election day, look what happened 2 or 3 days before with massive, wonderful job numbers, trying to get him elected or her elected, trying to get whoever the hell was running. Because you go back and they came out with numbers that were very favorable to Kamala, okay, to trying to get him elected, trying to get her elected. And then on the 15th of November or thereabouts, they had an 800,000 or 900,000 overstatement reduction right after the election. It didn't work because you know who won, John? I won.
But here's the thing. Your supporters have had issues with these numbers.
I've had issues with the numbers for a long time. But today's, we're doing so well. I believe the numbers were phony just like they were before the election. And there were other times. So you know what I did? I fired her. And you know what? I did the right thing.
If any government official going forward is presenting data or information you don't like, should they fear for their job?
I've always had a problem with these numbers. You know, I was thinking about it this morning. Before the numbers that came out, I said, who is the person that does these numbers? And then they gave me stats about before the election. I had a similar problem. I mean, she gave out numbers that were so good for the Democrats. It was like unbelievable. And then right after the election, she corrected those numbers with, I think, almost 900,000 corrections. I think nobody had ever seen anything like it. Well, today she did the same thing with the 253,000, whatever the number was. No, we need people that we can trust. I mean, your question is a very good one. We need people we can trust.
Staying with Trump, the U.S. is moving 2 nuclear submarines to be positioned in the appropriate regions to respond to what he called highly provocative statements from former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. Our colleagues at Bloomberg have more on the story.
About an hour ago, President Trump deploying two nuclear submarines, citing a Russian threat. What do we know about that?
Well, you know, this is really a case of the president. He's kept up pressure on Russia rhetorically anyway, and has obviously, you know, shrunk his deadline for the country to resolve matters with Ukraine, unless they face sanctions. In this case, he's clearly engaged in some kind of war of words with Medvedev. His response or his comments on social media today saying he was mobilizing these two nuclear submarines to respond to what was in response essentially to comments from Medvedev that he called highly provocative. And it just seems that there's a clear incendiary war of words between these two gentlemen.
Escalation between now and the weekend. Obviously, nobody has a crystal ball here, but this seems like escalation on its own. What should we be watching for?
You know, I think beyond this, you know, we obviously are going to be looking for other telegraphs from the president about movement and military assets. But, you know, the president has said very clearly he expects to hit Russia with sanctions on August 8th. And I think, you know, we could be looking for any sharper words from the president as he travels to New Jersey later today, potentially speaks to reporters. Whatever he says there will send important signals. And of course, we're going to watch to see what he does with those sanctions. He could shorten the timeline even further.
SpaceX launched its Dragon capsule carrying astronauts from the U.S., Japan, and Russia to the ISS after an initial scrub. Caroline Hyde and Ed Ludlow cover the launch and its technical and geopolitical significance on Bloomberg Tech.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition. Full power and lift off. Go Falcon, go NASA, go Crew 11.
Together we rise as NASA's SpaceX Crew 11 heads up to the International Space Station.
Vehicle is pitching downrange.
1.7 million pounds
stage
of thrust.
Propulsion is nominal.
Propelling Falcon 9 as the vehicle pitching downrange and making its way up the East Coast and will soon join Expedition 73 aboard the orbiting laboratory. So far, getting good call-outs on that first stage performance.
We are now T plus 35 seconds into the Crew 11 mission onboard Dragon and Falcon 9. The Falcon 9 engines
stage one throttle down.
Are throttling down to help
power and telemetry are nominal.
To help pass through the period of max Q or maximum aerodynamic pressure on the vehicle during ascent.
Max Q.
We just had max Q right there.
Falcon 9 is supersonic.
Hello. 1 minute, 9 seconds into what is a little bit more
stage
less
one,
than
up.
A 9 minute flight uphill as Dragon continuing.
Stage one, Bravo.
Copy. So currently traveling 1,500 kilometers an hour is the SpaceX Falcon 9 with Dragon on top goes through Earth's atmosphere. It'll get up to around like 5,500, 5,600 miles per hour. When it gets to that orbital height, you're talking like 17,500 miles per hour. They called the moment of max Q, Caro, which is the moment where the rocket's under most stress. You know, from a G-force perspective, passing through Earth's atmosphere, that rough air that it passes through. But the next key moment is about, I don't know, let's say 30 seconds away. And that's where that first stage, the main booster, you have main engine cutoff or MECO. And it's kind of an important moment because from there, you'll get the two stages separating. And then it's like literally fully automated. It's, I was going to say clockwork, but it's rocket science. And and it's pretty flawless most of the time.
And who's it? Mike Finke, who's the pilot from NASA, veteran on these three previous missions, we understand, managing to ensure that we get safely these people on board, these four crew members, up to ISS. So pretty integral moment. And we wonder just how their bodies are feeling on board right now. Can you just give us a sense of what it's like to experience this sort of force?
I don't know because I've never been on a rocket. But no, it's immense stress on the body. We just saw that perfect shot of first and second stage separations. What you're looking at is the single engine attached to the second stage at the base of Dragon capsule.
That brings us to the end of this BizNews briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with more context on the global and local front. Thanks, as always, for joining us.